San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024. Today's lesson is Grand Rising with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Happy Easter! Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, that was a very, very powerful song, Holy Forever by Jen Johnson. I've still got chills. So let's anchor ourselves in to the one power, the one presence, the one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And we call this God, the living spirit almighty, the one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is.
So it is.
Whoa. Whoa. Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Happy 23rd anniversary to us!
Happy birthday to us!
Yay! Happy birthday to us! So, here we are on Easter Sunday, a day of resurrection, of rebirth, of renewal, and our 23rd anniversary as our center of our center. So we're excited about that. Dr. Gordon Bishop founded this church 23 years ago on Easter Sunday. It was originally chartered as the Downtown Community Church, but in 2005, we got a fictitious business name doing business as thingy to be Downtown Community Church doing business as San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. So that's why all our paperwork says San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, because that's who we are, and that's how we are. So today is a time of celebration. It's a time of reflection and glorious anticipation of the wonderful life we all share. It's a time of rebirth, renewal, and resurrection of our consciousness in this thing called life, in which we live and move and have our being. You notice anything here? I'm repeating myself. It's called repetition of thought. When we are seeking to embody something within ourselves, it serves us well to repeat it, to reread it, to speak it to others, to share it, to know it. And if we didn't know that from a spiritual perspective and from principles, we could learn that from all of these marketing companies that tell us that 4 out of 5 dentists recommend this, and they tell it to us for 60 seconds. What is it, 5 times per TV program? All these different things. They say, my car is the absolute best car. If you don't have a car like mine, you're less than. Your car is less than. So you need my car to be truly who you are. Well, no, we don't. We don't need a car at all. But repetition of thought. How many people have seen that commercial, heard other people say how wonderful some car is, and are just not feeling like they're going to be happy until they go and they buy that car that they kept hearing about? You know, the one that, if it's a Jag, it has electrical problems. But it's a Jag. It's a Jaguar. So So today, we're going to get some insights into the glory of Easter. And I hope that I am going to inspire you by sharing the many opportunities to rise and shine, to grow and prosper, and to flourish as individuals and as community. Because our theme for this year is building conscious community. And that's what we're doing by being in this room. We are sharing the consciousness of this group. No other group in the world has this consciousness right here and right now. Aren't we great? Let's pat ourselves on the back. We are all unique, unique incarnations of the One. And you know who else was a unique incarnation of the One? Jesus of Nazareth. Our theme for March has been involvement, where we know that involvement means participating, being a part of. And that's what we're doing today. We're not just participating here with each other. We are participating in a worldwide phenomenon right now that we call Easter. I think that even people of other faiths are familiar with the word Easter, or Easter in their language, if not the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Heck, our calendars are based on the birth of Jesus, so that would at least indicate that everyone kind of heard of why we call this the year 2023. 24, sorry, 2024. I'm still thinking 23rd anniversary. Do you know what a prime number is? Everybody does. A prime number is a number that is only divisible by itself. Now, did you know that one is not a prime number? So the prime numbers under 100 are 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 29, 31, 37, 41, 43, 47, 53, 59, 61, 67, 71, 73, 83, 89, and 97. You can listen to the talk and play that back slowly if you want to write them down. Or you can look it up like I did. I do not remember all of those, even though at one point when I was younger, I did memorize an awful lot of the prime numbers because I thought they were so cool. They were so cool. So the 23rd. We've been around a long time. We have loved a lot of people. And that's because we are the very presence of love. Now, today's lesson is called Grand Rising. Grand Rising. Coincidentally, well, not coincidentally, I did this on purpose. The annual theme for Centers for Spiritual Living is Grand Rising. And I just thought it would be a really cool title for our lesson today on Easter, when we are celebrating the resurrection, the rising of Jesus from the dead, the miracle of the resurrection. Now, Grand Rising is a term that was initiated by spiritualists maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's not really that old of a term as far as being called Grand Rising. Why would they come up with a term like that? I know, I was curious too. That's why I looked it up. So it turns out that spiritualists are people who communicate with the dead. If you believe that people could communicate with the dead, by definition, you're a spiritualist. However, you don't have to exclusively be a spiritualist just because you believe that. You want to be clear about that. Because I believe that, but I also believe in deeper meaning for all of that. So they decided, these spiritualists decided that when we go around and talk to everybody and we say, good morning, and we greet people like that, that it sounds too much like mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, which is what people do about the dead. So with their unique perspective, they decided that good morning was not a cheerful, vibrant greeting like people thought it was. So they came up with this new greeting, grand rising. To start your day in a grand manner, rising up with the sun, rising up into everything that is ours to do in a given day. Or rising up from a tomb where you have been behind a rock for 3 days. Resurrecting. A grand rising. So I think of Easter Sunday now as a grand rising. And when they went to the tomb to anoint him and do all the things, the three Marys, when they went to the tomb, they were told by the angel, he is not here. He had his grand rising. So it was a good morning and it was a grand rising. Now, we are New Thought, and we talked about that earlier this month with New Thought Day. So let's talk a little bit about, or I'll talk a little bit, about the New Thought approach to Easter. Our philosophy is our approach to traditional religion and how we practice our faith, and it's called practical spirituality. We draw from the ancient wisdom of the ages and we practice living it in today's world. A lot of the things that we say here in our centers and teach in our classes and say to each other are things that Aristotle said, or Plato said, or Marcus Aurelius said. Ancient wisdom. Ancient wisdom. In Science of Mind philosophy and teaching, we study world religions, and we find the common thread that weaves them all together, much like a beautiful tapestry of love, light, and wholeness. Today, millions of people throughout the world are celebrating the resurrection of the master teacher, Jesus, over 2,000 years ago. Today, and here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, we're focusing on the positive message of Easter rather than dwell on the drama and the passion that led up to it. There are a lot of places you can go to experience the story of the drama of what Jesus went through during Holy Week. But now it's Easter. Now it's a grand rising. Now it's a glorious day. And we have a message of victory and self-realization. Self-realization. Who are you? Who is your higher self? You are a unique incarnation of the divine. Just like Jesus was. We turn our attention to the rebirth and the renewal of the human spirit that was exemplified by the great way shower, Jesus the Christ. We believe that Jesus was the great example rather than the great exception. When he said to his followers, "You can do even greater things than these when you believe." When you believe. Next week's talk is Believing is Seeing. So, my commercial plug. To this day, Jesus inspires humanity to rise and shine to a new level of achievement and purpose. According to the Holy Scriptures, the heavy stone was rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus demonstrated to all humanity the miracle of breaking through the illusion of death and overcoming limited beliefs. Today is a celebration of the divine potential within all of us. So this morning, we celebrate not only his resurrection, we celebrate the renewal of our own lives as we overcome limited beliefs and false appearances. It is the promise of life everlasting. Right here, right now, in this present moment, in this lifetime. That's our new thought approach to Easter. I want to share with you something about Julian of Norwich. Now, Julian of Norwich, Amazing woman. She was an anchoress, an English anchoress. And so you're probably wondering, what the heck is an anchoress? Is it a female anchor? You have male and female anchors. You know, one goes over the right side of the ship, one goes over the left. No. An anchoress was a woman who lived her life devoted to contemplation and meditation. They were approved by the church, by the Catholic Church, and they were seen as great teachers with great insight due to their very close relationship with God. Many of them were mystics. Now, we know that the Catholic Church promoted all the male saints and male mystics ad nauseum. So for them to do this at this particular time in history with a few select women was enlightened beyond belief. However, it was also the time of the Black Plague, and they were willing to try anything. So honoring the mysticism of these anchoresses was just another, we're gonna have faith in whatever comes forward. Julian of Norwich understood the central message for spiritual life. She wrote, "God is love. And it is only if one opens oneself to this love, totally and with total trust, and lets it become one's sole guide in life, that all things are transfigured, true peace and true joy found, and one is able to radiate it." So what she's saying is, it's all love. And until you understand that it is love and open yourself up to the love, you may have a challenge sharing that love, radiating that love. But once you do, once you open yourself up to it, it is who you are. It is what you are. And this love radiates through and as you. as the divine is moving through and as you. She's an amazing woman. Amazing woman. She wrote, where did I write it down? She wrote a book called Revelations of Divine Love. She's the first woman to write a book in English that has survived. Female authors were not given the same appreciation that male authors were. And yet, back in the 1300s, Julian of Norwich wrote her book, Revelations of Divine Love, and it still exists. Pretty powerful. It's a pretty powerful book. She wrote about the All Shall Be Well when Jesus is telling the disciples, all shall be well. She wrote, all shall be well, for there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go. She's right. She says, all shall be well, and all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. That is her most famous quote. And it is of a deeper sense of knowing than patting somebody on the shoulder and saying, everything's going to be okay. Because when we say everything's going to be okay, we are comforting the human. When we say all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. We are stating a spiritual truth, a spiritual principle. So that is Julian of Norwich. Her book, Revelations of Love, was considered one of the most remarkable documents of medieval religious experience, more so than what the men were writing. Well, we all have to hear about something a first time, because we aren't born knowing all these things. And you know, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking that's not true, Connie. We are born knowing all these things, but we go through the process of being raised and we forget the things that we knew deep within ourselves in our spiritual nature when we were born. What's the story of Jesus? Okay, I have something that I'm supposed to be telling you. It is called The Story of Jesus. Oh, here it is. Sorry, my notes. I put it underneath something else. Okay, so this is kind of the new thought, science of mind approach to the Easter story. Jesus of Nazareth was the son of a carpenter, and he was born to Joseph and Mary in the town of Bethlehem. In his 20s, he traveled the land, going about his father's business, teaching, speaking, performing miracles, wonderful things like that, sharing his wisdom. He became a prophet. He had a huge following, and people called him the King of the Jews. Part of the stuff he was teaching was that the kingdom is within. And this was different from what all of the Jewish leaders and preachers and priests and rabbis, what all they were teaching. They were not teaching the kingdom is within. They were teaching, these are the laws. You have to follow the laws. This is the Torah. You have to follow the laws. Now, we in New Thought, we also say there is a law. And whatever you do, the universe is going to say yes. If you say, if I eat A and B together, I'm going to be deathly ill, the universe says, okay, gotcha. Fine, no problem. You eat those together, you will become ill. Not because it is something that will make somebody ill, but because that's what you believe. That's what you believe. So at 33, we talked last week about Palm Sunday, all these people came to see Jesus riding through the gates of Jerusalem. And it was a huge deal. It was a royal reception. And so he went in for Passover. After his royal reception, then he was ridiculed. He was spat upon. He was beaten. They made him carry his own cross. He was crucified. His death was witnessed by the same people who celebrated him when he first arrived. His last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit." That is a horrific ending if we end it right there. But we don't. We don't. The rest of the story is the resurrection. And that is why we celebrate Easter. Now, at this point, my talk has one of two ways to go. And this is number 7. So I've gone through 1 through 6. And number 7 is either I use this part or I use that part. And I'm going to use the part that I picked out a month ago. This is the Creative Thought little magazine, and it is from September of 2013. In April of 1952, Ernest Holmes, the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, had a radio program, and it was called This Thing Called Life. This little magazine has a transcription of his talk, and his talk for that day was There Are No Dead, a message on immortality. Don't be misled by the title of his article. He writes, "Jesus' triumph of the cross was infinitely more than one man proving he was immortal. It was a lesson chosen for a definite purpose, for the cross stands for the tree of life, whose roots are in the earth, whose arms or branches are stretched out in a protective manner, and whose head or top piece is pointed toward the sky. This really represents the threefold nature of man. He is physical, mental, and spiritual. Or as the Bible says, he is spirit, soul, and body." And so Jesus permitted that which was human about him to hang on this tree of life and to be taken down and placed in a tomb, which stands for everything that means an obstruction to life, everything that looks as though life were buried, inactive, or dead. So what is he saying? He's saying Jesus allowed this to happen. Well, we know that. We know that because even in the biblical stories, when Jesus is praying the night before he is arrested. He says, you know, Dad, if I don't have to do this, I'd rather not. But if this is really necessary, okay, I'll do it. Now, he did that in Aramaic and in, you know, Bible speak, but... And Ernest reminds us, let us not forget that even in this experience, the tomb was filled with a light. The light that the Bible says lighteth every man's pathway, the eternal light of heaven. And it was this light, or this life, that Jesus took into the tomb with him. It was this light that emerged, walked through the tomb as though it were not there. The cross and the suffering and the anguish and the tomb were but preliminary incidents to the resurrection. The triumph of the Spirit, the certainty that the cross cannot long crucify, nor the tomb long contain that which was destined to live forever. Our spirit, our energy, our life is eternal. Yes, we come into a body on this earth plane. But we are not just, boom, snap your fingers, suddenly here we are. No, before we came here, we were alive as spiritual beings. We came here to earth for this earth experience. And we are going to leave this earth to continue on with our spiritual life. So Ernest has said, liken the tomb and the cross to what we are experiencing in our lives when we don't realize that we have eternal life already. It's not waiting for us. It's already here. He writes, perhaps there is more than one cross from which we need to be delivered, and more than one tomb that needs to be opened. Fear and lack, failure, disease, and unhappiness are crosses upon which we hang until the day of deliverance. And too often, we lie in some tomb of uncertainty and place all our hopes in a mental tomb of the denial of good. Wow. We bury the truth. We live in a tomb of lies. Does not sound fun. No, does not sound fun. And he says, but even here, in this tomb of our own making, there is a light accompanying us. That light that is within our divine life. You know, when Jesus had the transfiguration and he went up on the mountain with Peter and James and John. They went up on the mountain and Jesus was just glowing and he was talking to Elijah and Isaiah, I think. And he was transfigured in their eyes. He was simply glowing light. That's what you are. You are simply glowing light. It's just hard to see with these human eyes. Everything would be all light and all bright. And so the human eye kind of filters everything that it sees. But keep in mind that we also have spiritual eyes. We have the eyes of God that we look through and we look into. Ernest writes, even here there is a voice that still speaks, telling us that the tomb doesn't really represent life, that we can arise and walk forth free and whole. What we need to do then is to rediscover the secret that Jesus knew, that thing that carried him triumphantly through every experience of life and finally delivered him from the last enemy of man, which is death. Awesome. Awesome. So, since Jesus isn't walking around and we can't say, Jesus, excuse me, could you remind me what it was that you knew? No. We have spiritual principles that are rediscovered every so often. These ancient wisdom, ancient truths that we have within our own being. We have that lie detector. So that when we hear something, it either strikes a harmonious chord within us, or it feels itchy, scratchy, a little discordant. Maybe your stomach feels a little off. Maybe you start to get a headache. Your body is saying, no, whatever your body signals are, it is saying, no, that's not the truth. The truth is that you are that unique manifestation of eternal life. In this article, I don't see where I underlined it, but one of the other things that Ernest Holmes says in it is that we, each of us individually, get to choose how we are going to look at life as things change, as we add more numbers to the years that we've been here. Are we looking at the end of our life as a death so that we know that things end? Because if we're doing that, we're already dying. If we understand that at the end of our time here, we move on to a new experience, then we are not looking forward to dying. And I'm not meaning looking forward like, oh, look, I get to die. But with everything that we focus on, saying, oh, and I'm going to get older, and my body's going to break down, and my friends are going to die. And, no. Look toward living every single day. Be alive, awake, and aware every single day. Yeah. Jesus' resurrection offers all of us the opportunity to realize the divinity within all humanity. You may not immediately recognize the Christ presence in your neighbor, your spouse, your partner, your co-worker, or even in the person sitting next to you. However, we are all walking each other home. And Easter offers an opportunity to die to old narratives, old beliefs, and assumptions that keep us attached to these false ways of living. Easter is a time for all of humanity to rise up, to have this grand rising to our spiritual magnificence, to let our lights shine and claim the kingdom of heaven right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.